You're going to see all the emotions.
Things got a little crazy at times.
And yes, there are some tears.
It wasn't rainbows, it wasn't butterflies. It is gut-wrenching. It is hard, and it only gets harder. This whole entire thing wasn't always pretty. Here's the thing. I wasn't the perfect bachelor.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Wow, what a hell of an episode of television.
And you know what? What a hell of a day. Luke Perry did not die for this, okay?
Well, he didn't die.
He didn't die for this. God rest his soul. I'm really upset about Luke Perry, but this show, I guess, continues to surprise me, Adam.
You know, I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Tell me what you think is going on. If you don't know what's going on, tell me what you think is going on.
You know, I think that's sort of what the rest of the show is for, me to
articulate what's going on.
Or I guess the closest that I could come to guessing at what's going on.
Mm.
It's confusing.
It is confusing. I feel like I am in a state of disarray, but also...
Sure sounded like it right there.
But also, you know, how we do like to talk about on this show, and have talked about several times, great bachelor breakups. This is not one of them.
This is not great.
This is not a great bachelor breakup.
It would appear to be a bachelor breakup, although there's still three full episodes of the show left.
Yes, that is true. There are three full episodes of the show left.
Man, Hannah G disappeared into the night.
Poor Hannah G. And I mean,
2 hours ago, I thought she was winning this whole program.
And
like, that was the last anyone's ever seen of her.
Right. Hannah G just doesn't exist. She
face on the milk carton. Just, where is this person?
Poof. That's what happened.
She's so small. You walk across the sewer grates the wrong way.
She evaporated in
a game of angles.
You open the window and she blew out of it.
Boom, poof.
Like Kate Moss on Family Guy.
That's what happened.
I guess because things happened, but nothing happened, I don't really know what to say.
Nothing happened would be a very appropriate title for this episode. Because really nothing happened. So it was a 2-hour show like regular.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are not used to the show,
or
people who don't watch the usual program, here is always what happens when there's three people left. They go to some exotic location.
Right.
They alternate turns sleeping with him.
Mm-hmm. They usually go on a nothing date during the day.
Dumb dates.
It's always a dumb
date.
Dates are always the worst dates.
And then they go to the hotel room and have an intimate overnight date,
right?
Which you should be feeling the finger quotes around this
overnight date. Yeah,
In the fantasy suite. So they have this, and then he wakes up someday after all three of them and decides to send somebody home. He sleeps with three of them,
sure.
and then picks his top two after that.
Right.
That is what usually happens,
right?
Obviously. This is not a usual episode.
This is an anomaly, very much so.
I guess there were only two dates tonight. Let's just talk about them. Is there anything else that we need to go into the setup? This is the overnight dates one.
I mean, the only other setups that I would say that we need to have are some anecdotes that came through the date where Colton basically admitted what I had been saying all season, that he's an everything but virgin, and... that still has nothing to do with anything. So.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
I've got a note about this.
Oh.
I know, right?
Butt stuff?
No. No, my note is not about that. My note is about 1990s family-friendly television.
Oh.
Obviously, for people who know me, this is one of my areas of expertise.
Sorry for being so crass.
Yeah, thank you for taking this in the wrong direction.
I can't help myself.
All right, so we go to Portugal for these.
Portugal.
These overnight dates are going to happen in Portugal. We go there, and the three women, in order, sort of have these walking monologues. So they're walking through the streets of Portugal.
These literally don't mean anything.
It's Tayshia, then Cassie,
then Hannah G.
And then you see them walking down the streets, and then they kind of peer off into the distance.
Thinking pensively about their time with Colton.
And they're giving these monologues. It's something like, I'm just so excited to see where this goes.
And
I feel like we're really connecting.
Right, and I can't wait to connect with him on a more intimate level. Code for sex.
Yes, the I word is in place of the S word in at least a couple of people's mouths.
In place?
Oh, get out of here.
In people's mouths?
Get out of here.
Honey, this is all, this whole episode's about innuendo. What do you want from me?
That was a Tobias Fienke moment from me.
It was.
I didn't even mean to.
You blew yourself on a bit of a dry run.
Tasty leading man parts in my mouth. God.
You know, see, the next season's coming out soon. That's pretty exciting.
In immediately after the Bachelor finale is going to be season, what is it, 6, 5?
Who cares?
It's not been great.
Who honestly cares?
Let's talk about it. First intimate overnight date, and this is only maybe 30 minutes, you know, this is less than anything because nothing happens. It's Tayshia.
So Tayshia's date was, you know, again, as we've discussed, all the fantasy suite dates really are just a vehicle to sex. So the dates end up being
interesting because Tayshia's was a helicopter ride to a castle where they stayed. So, yeah, literally a vehicle to sex.
A vehicle to sex. So the dates usually end up being nothing dates. They usually are walk and talk dates or something to that effect.
Yes.
Where nothing really happens during the day. Maybe
we'll... I think it should be, really.
Yeah. Like, and then,
you don't want to have a date where you're like skydiving and you don't see each other or talk to each other.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, well, this is the last time you're probably ever going to see this person before they meet your family, and then maybe you propose. Like, I think you probably want to have time to talk.
Well, and then the point is, this always also ends up being a nothing date, because by the time these people are talking and in the fantasy suite, they want to save all the good stuff for when the cameras aren't around, so that they can talk and say weird stuff and, you know, talk about all their kinks or what have you when the cameras are off. So they don't really say a lot during these dates because they want to hold on to it.
Yeah, and I think for most contestants, Colton season excluded.
Sure.
The sexual tension at this point is so unbearable and so heavy, you can't think straight.
You can't even think straight. You're like,
I'm so horned up.
I just want to see some...
I've been like loosely dating a bunch of people, but really only into a handful. And like, here's one of them. And like, we're about to have sex.
Yes.
But like, I have to do this mandatory public appearance on camera.
Yes.
And you're like, I need to get this over as soon as possible so I can get into the hotel room and close the door.
Close the door. Right? Because also on top of this, I've been making out with a bunch of women for weeks, rubbing fronts, as we like to say.
rubbing
fronts for weeks, and I am ready to make it happen.
Like in the wild, in the real world, like when you are into somebody and they are into you and you both have reached the threshold.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to use a different word.
No. When you both reach that threshold, you just have sex.
Yeah.
That is not how it works in The Bachelor.
No.
Well, when you both reach the threshold, you bottle it up until you get to this date.
That is true. Unless you are somebody else on a different, you know, season of the show where you have sex at an unsanctioned time, which is frowned upon.
But mostly.
Mostly.
Mostly this is how it happens.
Mostly people follow the rules.
You decide early.
Like, I wonder what it was
a couple
like
of weeks in, and then you just hold all that sexual tension.
Hold.
And then everybody now.
Everybody now.
You finally get to release it at this moment.
I wonder what it was like having sex with Peter.
I bet you do.
I do. I can't help myself.
Get out of here.
I can't help it. He's so hot.
So here's what happens.
Yes.
Tayshia and Colton go on a helicopter ride.
Fine.
They have this little romantic picnic by a castle.
And Colton is wearing a lot of scarves this episode. I am personally offended. Go ahead.
Why is that?
Because scarves are not an article or an accessory of clothing that I like to see on men very often.
What if it's cold?
I prefer a hat. Or a beanie. I do not prefer a scarf.
What if it's cold or there's like a vampire or some other neck-based threat?
I do like an ascot. But I don't like a long scarf. I think a shorter scarf would have been a little bit more tasteful for me.
So for everybody who's listening, who knows us personally, or who feels like they do at this point.
Thanks.
You know, because there's like 200 people who listen to this thing every week.
I know. Thanks, everybody.
300 last week.
We really appreciate it. Thanks for making this fun.
You know, the comment button still works.
It sure does.
It's not broken.
It
we
sure
know
does.
You're out there listening.
We
and
know
you
it.
Probably have something to say.
Listening,
you know,
in,
say it.
Listening in secret.
Taylor, when she sleeps, tucks herself into the bed.
I do.
And then pulls the covers up around her neck.
I do.
As a means of protection.
I do.
Is what she says.
Yes. I had a lot of nightmares as a child. And so the protection of my neck by my blankets was a defense mechanism.
And yet Colton
my therapist is still working through a lot of this with me.
Colton comes out here and protects his neck as a defense mechanism, and you are hating it.
But he's not asleep.
Hypocrisy.
It's different, and also the scarves are ugly. My sheets look great.
That's objectively true. I don't disagree.
Objectively true.
Our sheets are great.
Yes, our sheets are great.
So they do the thing. They're sitting and talking.
Who cares?
She's kind of laying on the innuendo very thick.
I think it's funny.
I think she's kind of making a joke. Like
she's definitely making
a joke. She's making it very obvious.
And he is also making it very obvious, yes. As we will discuss later in the evening.
She's making it very obvious that it's an option. He's making it very obvious it is not an option. And it's just this battle of...
Are you sure? Are you sure he's making it obvious that it's not an option? I didn't get that vibe.
Oh, yeah.
What did he say?
He said, you know, she's like, oh, are there any other firsts? They were talking, like, this is my first time in a castle, first time in Spain or whatever. And she was like, are there any other firsts that you would like to experience? And he was just, looked her in the face, which I don't know how that is possible because her breasts were available.
Oh, Jesus.
He was like, yeah. I want to have intimate conversations with you. And then he, just to clarify that he meant the C word, not the I word. He's like, yeah, can't wait to talk to you.
Ooh.
I was like,
but was he making a joke or do you think he was serious?
Well, then they had the overnight date they did was talk.
You're right.
You know, we all know how she voted. Yeah. She was a yay.
I guess you got to read between the lines.
That was pretty obvious. So that's it. I mean, she's dressed in this thing that just, like, it is a miracle her body stayed contained inside of it.
Well, are you talking about the outfit for the evening
date? For dinner.
Date? Okay, so...
For the right before so they let go
us,
to the fancy
So let us preface. So that was the daytime date at the lighthouse, at the lighthouse castle, whatever it was. Then we go to the evening date, and Tayshia has this fantastic dress on. I mean... It was wonderful. It was a wrap dress with a very deep V-neck, and she wore sort of a, let's call it a suede moto jacket. Don't know if it's suede, don't know if it was leather. Either way, it was very hot. She basically had her boobs taped into the dress, and she mentioned it to Colton, and I thought it was hysterical. She said, I'm just trying to make sure that my boobs are taped in. He said, yep, they're in there. I was looking, yeah. And I saw them taped in there, and she flashed him a little bit. He said, saw that too.
Yeah, I mean, like, she's wearing the kind of thing that you can only wear if you're super hyper skinny, but also very well developed.
Right.
A regular person could not wear this.
Or also planning on having sex with somebody. Because you want the illusion and the air of, you might get to see these if you want.
I think that was there.
Yeah.
I was just watching on TV and I almost got to see them.
Yeah, you did. Good for her.
So they sit there and they have this conversation. And she's basically like, look at this.
Look at this.
And
he, you get to have it.
By some miracle of self-control, he does not have it.
So...
And that doesn't make any sense to me. How could you not?
So let's also talk about Tayshia saved sort of a revelation about her relationship.
This is a masterstroke by her. It doesn't do any good.
Right.
But it is a great strategy.
It is a great strategy. So as we've said on the show before, you know, sometimes people release their traumas. Their baggage very early. So... Tayshia, it's almost a masterclass in how to quote-unquote play the game.
Yeah.
She didn't tell Colton about being divorced until her one-on-one date, which was the right time to do it, and it was pretty far into the process.
It was a few episodes ago, maybe five or so.
Yeah, it was probably first or second travel date. I can't remember. Or maybe it was the first travel date when they went to Singapore. And then, even in that time frame when they had a bunch of one-on-one dates and one-on-one time with one another, because he went on a couple one-on-one dates with her, she never mentioned that her ex-husband cheated on her until right now.
That's impossible.
How could you hold on to that?
How could you cheat on Tayshia?
I have a lot to say.
That doesn't make any sense.
But it doesn't make any sense.
People are dumb.
So she basically said, you know, trust is really important to me in a relationship and communication. My ex-husband cheated on me, and so I just want to make sure that this was right. And she also said, he was the only person I'd ever been with. So I was also pretty much, I was a virgin until I got married.
At this point, had the playing field been neutral, mm-hmm. had he been equally interested in all three of them,
right,
this would have definitely locked up a rose.
100%.
This like, revelation.
Oh, 100%. Because it's,
number one, you play the I waited game. Yep. So you're like, you and me are on this, we're walking in the same path. We've right. done this before.
Right.
Which is rare, I think, for him to find.
Yes.
And then number two, you're like, and this really bad thing happened to me that you have to feel bad for and right. reward, which normally works in the game.
Right, definitely. So they get to the fantasy suite, and they don't bang.
They don't bang. On the way in, he says something along the lines of, like, yeah, you what you already said earlier, like, I haven't had sex, but, like, I've been...
I've done everything but...
Like, I've been thrown out at home, basically.
Right.
And, but speaking of this,
oh boy.
Remember that 90s family-friendly TV illusion that I mentioned earlier?
yes.
Just literally last night.
Last night.
Taylor and I were watching a series of Boy Meets World episodes. And
let's preface the episodes that we watch. We watch some of the all-time classics. We watch the Purse Girl episode, which of course starts with Sean and Angela on ending their 2-week date, then Sean finding Angela's purse, and then them realizing that they are meant to be together. We also watch the classic Scream episode of Boy Meets World, and we also watch the two-part haircut episode.
So the Scream episode, which is probably like one of maybe the number one episode.
So, so good. The show is hilarious. You don't realize how great and how funny Boy Meets World is until you go back and watch the episodes. And I am just charmed every time.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Here's what I'll say. You don't realize how funny it is until you listen to a podcast about The Bachelor, where one of the characters reenacts a scene for you via the radio so that you get to experience it secondhand again.
Yes.
Like 20 years later.
Yes. Is it happening right now?
It's about to happen right now.
It's happening right now.
In the Scream episode, they're all in a detention, mm-hmm. right? Because Corey and Topanga have broken up.
Correct.
And Sean's having a hard time dealing with it. Mm-hmm. And they're like fidgeting and talking and not paying attention in class.
And Mr. Feeny puts the hammer down. He's like, detention, everybody.
Mr. Feeny's like, everybody gets detention. Mm-hmm. So they're in detention. Feeny leaves. And then now it's like a bottle. We're in this room and some guy dies. So like
it's Kenny.
Kenny
gets a pencil in the head.
Kenny, the only character who isn't really part of the gang.
And we've never seen Kenny before he dies. In the entire series.
He dies, and then somebody else dies. No, Mr. Feeny dies soon after that. And there's a hypothesis. That's right. Yeah, that's right. So these two are the only two dead, and there's a hypothesis floated by Corey, I think, mm-hmm. who goes, wait a minute. Maybe the people who are dying are people who have had sex before.
Right.
And then Sean says, all right, Mr. Feeny, like, way to go. And then Eric and Jack go, oh no, we're next.
Right.
And Sean goes, well, I wouldn't die, but I'd be like really sick. Sick as you can be without dying.
That's terrible.
And I don't remember this. Probably my like teen innocence was shielding me from knowing that actually like the actual understanding there,
mm-hmm.
but watching it again,
very funny.
I appreciate that.
Thanks,
Sean Hunter. You and Colton are both as sick as you can be without actually dying in the, at this point, not the library, the detention room.
Right.
In the Scream episode of Boy Meets World.
I mean, no spoilers, but come to find out, Sean is a very integral part of that episode.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen the Scream episode, you're an idiot.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you doing? God. So Colton and Tayshia don't have sex. Everybody's sad about it. I'm personally sad about it.
How could you pass that up?
I know. And usually they have now been doing this for a handful of seasons where they've started to show the couple in bed after the morning after. And usually they don't have a lot of clothes on, like everybody's shirtless and making out. It's a little crass, and I know crass. And so they actually did have clothes on this time, so I thought that was interesting. Tayshia didn't wrap her hair, but we don't have to get into that right now.
How could you not?
I know. Wait, wrap your hair?
No, just the bigger question.
Yes.
They're both super hot people.
I mean, I'm not
How
saying...
How could you vote nay?
Listen, I'm not saying that he didn't see her naked. That's not what I'm saying.
No, he definitely did.
He definitely did. But
and that good for him. But like, how do you draw the line? How do you see it and go, you know what? Like, good for me, but I'm gonna stop.
You know how crazy. You know how that happens when you're only in love with one person.
Yes. So, speaking of that,
so
I guess let's talk about the next
day. I guess let's talk about the next day.
So the next 90 minutes of the show,
yes,
are the Colton and Cassie date.
Yeah,
and It's very early in the date. I think first TV act of the date.
Yeah.
Colton is like, listen, I've decided that I love you and only you and everybody else doesn't mean anything to me. And
color me surprised, because we were over here thinking that, oh, it's Hannah and he just really wants to bang Cassie and whatever. We are so sorry, everybody. We were very wrong.
First of all, I let my own feelings get involved in the game.
You really did.
Which I think is part of my charm.
okay.
You know.
Okay, because you really have been talking about Cassie for weeks.
I am attracted to Cassie absolutely zero. Mm-hmm. 0.00000. There is no one or there's no number at the end of this. Zero attracted to Cassie.
Yeah.
And that makes it hard for me to empathize with another person who would be that attracted to her,
mm-hmm.
which is what happened here.
So on the date, again, a classic walk and talk date. Nobody cares. Colton is doing all this voiceover stuff about how in love with Cassie he is and she's so amazing. And then he says, she hasn't said that she's in love with me.
But I know
she's in love with me. Okay, no. For the past 2 weeks, the show has been setting up that Cassie could not care less about being in love with Colton. There have been girls that have been on the show that have said that she doesn't give a f- about him. Her own parents said that she doesn't give a f- about him. And then she said that she doesn't give a f-
so about many him. Chances to say the L word.
She has said 400 times she is not interested.
She doesn't even dip into the shades. No. Like starting to fall in.
No.
She's just like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, it's almost like she doesn't know another word other than I don't know.
She probably doesn't.
She doesn't. She's 23. But she's a speech pathologist, so I don't know.
Her youth stands out.
Ooh, she's exceedingly. So young. She's so young. So among all of this where Colton is saying, she's in love with me, I know it, and, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, stay the course, pretty much. And so... This is the male fallacy. So they have a conversation about what happened at Cassie's hometown date. And Cassie's like, oh my gosh, my family was so excited about meeting you. He's like, yeah, your parents are really excited. I had some challenging conversations with them. And she was like, what do you mean? So Colton tells her that, you know, I talked to your dad about, you know, asking for his blessing to marry you. And he didn't give it to me.
Kind of gave me a thumbs down.
He gave me a hell no, pretty much.
Was that the only thumbs down last week? I think so.
Yeah.
And it's also very important to remember that all four of these women before the hometown dates give these VOs where they're like, it means so much for me to have my family's blessing on this. It means family is so important. And I just need to get their thumbs up on this. I need to. It means everything.
Now, I also want to bring something up that was either brought to my attention. I read it on the internet. I don't know, but I'm going to share it. Also,
don't do that. This is original 25 to Life commentary.
Right. Sorry. This is original content. So, you know, when you think about this whole thing, when you go home for hometowns, the girls have been separated from their families for 6 to 7 weeks. I mean, imagine how many times you speak on the phone, even if your parents are not in the same city or not near you, how often you interact or talk with your family when you are not in this situation, whether it's text message, phone, FaceTime, you know, email, what have you. You are not doing that for 6 weeks. And so when you then come home to see these people for the first time that you've seen or spoken to them in 6 weeks, and then you're telling your parents, hey, I'm in love with this guy that I met 6 weeks ago. Of course these parents are going to say, hell no. So, I mean, I stand by Cassie's dad and Cassie's family saying, you know, I don't know about this. I'm skeptical. But Cassie, pretty much when she hears from Colton that her dad did not give him his blessing or whatever, she has a meltdown. She fully has a meltdown. She did not expect for her dad not to give Colton the blessing. And then on top of that, for Colton, which I thought was really interesting, she said, well, when you left, you were all happy-go-lucky and very excited and everything. You didn't even make it seem like anything was wrong. Dude.
It's because he doesn't care. Because he was just happy to be around her and he didn't care what her dad said. It was exactly. A formality.
It was a formality, which is technically, which is what he said. He said, I mean, I asked your dad, right. But, which is, I think, honestly, what I was looking for him to say last week. And he didn't say it. I wanted him to say, you know, I'm asking your parents as a courtesy and I'm talking to them as a courtesy. That doesn't change how I feel about you. Which, yes, correct. But Cassie seemed to put a lot more stock into the blessing of her parents and her family than
we thought.
Because
it was a way out.
Bingo.
She knew.
Bingo.
She didn't want to do this and she knew that was her way out.
Right. So, I mean, so what do you think was the reason for her to have this sort of flip out where she was like, oh my God, I can't believe they said that to you. I can't believe they said that. Why would she freak out if she felt like this was a way out?
Because if she blew it up like that, then it gave some sort of reason for her to just back out of this thing that isn't just, yeah, I stayed around even though I don't like you.
Right.
Which, you know, looks bad.
It looks bad.
And I'm so loyal to my family mm-hmm. is why I'm leaving you. Mm-hmm. Does not look bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is what
mm-hmm.
she's doing. It is very, very worth noting that every minute Cassie appears on camera, the more childish she appears.
Totally.
If you're her dad and you think this person who, like, I think this girl is hyper young after seeing her on TV now for 3 hours instead of two.
Right.
She regresses every time. He has been seeing this for 23 years.
Yeah.
He cannot possibly be convinced that she's about to get married. So it makes sense for him.
It makes total sense. And for Colton, I don't think he sees her reactions to things and thinks that these would be red flags. Like, her reaction to him in this adult conversation where you're trying to figure out where the direction of your relationship is going was not a healthy response.
None of it's healthy. It's terrible.
No, and yet he's still sitting here like, oh, she loves me. Read between the lines, bro. It ain't happening. Oh,
male fallacy.
So
it's like you don't even listen to me repeat this every year.
Tell us the male fallacy, honey. We have so many new listeners on the show. I'm sure they want to hear all of your talking points about this.
There's just one talking point. The male fallacy is that every man on planet Earth, give or take, you know, like all of them, every man on planet Earth assumes he is the most attractive thing alive, the most attractive male option. And if he spends more time with a woman, eventually she'll figure it out too. This is what Colton is thinking about Cassie. He thinks he is the biggest deal around, and she just needs a little bit more time. She'll figure it out too.
Ugh.
That's it. That explains all of his actions.
And it is very true.
So here's what happens. ABC flies Cassie's dad out to Portugal.
This pissed me off.
This is dumb.
So much. I was so angry. The minute that the car drove up and he got out of the automobile, I was furious.
So they have this conversation and mm-hmm. it kind of starts out like she's really into it. Dad's like, hey, do you actually love this guy? And she goes, I think I do, which number one is a terrible answer.
It's not a good response.
But number two shows that she's trying.
She's
at this
thinking
point,
about
at
it.
This point, it sounds like she's on the side of the fence where she's like, yeah, I would go with
she's
it.
She's got her legs over it. She's sitting on the fence, but her legs are over it. She wants to jump.
So then she and Dad have this conversation, and he totally pulls her back to his.
Oh my God. So this was also interesting, and we don't talk about this a lot on this show in particular. There's a very evangelical Christian bend to the show that they don't talk about. And I don't know if it's because of, I don't know, a lot of different things, but it was interesting. Her dad said the when you get married, your relationship is second only to God. And I thought that was an interesting way to talk about this. in a way that highlights some of the evangelical background of Cassie without being sort of overt about it.
I think we're not really sure the level of religion in either Cassie or Colton.
Right. Or any of these relationships either.
No, really, yeah. I think it is almost always a characteristic of at least one, like, main contender of a season.
Right.
But we don't ever see people talking about it, like,
right,
on camera.
It's, and it seems like with, you know, the virginity bend, at least, it created a pool, or it pulled from a pool of people that this would be very important to them.
Yeah.
So Cassie's dad was pretty clear about, you seem like you don't like him. You seem like you're not into it. If you're not sure, then you probably should break up with him.
Really, which, good advice.
Great
very
advice.
Very good advice.
Very reasonable. I totally get it. Because if, and on top of that, girl, you are 23 years old. If you are in this situation and you don't want to get engaged to somebody, that is totally fine. Don't feel like you need to get married to somebody just because, you know, you're on a television show. If you feel like it's not right, don't do it. Which is a reasonable thing to say.
Yeah, this is the point where you're like, she really, really turns into just a child.
Oh yeah.
It's very much just a parent telling a child that they don't know what's going on and they have no experience.
Yes.
And like, he does not do it in a mean way or anything.
He does it in a way that
he's giving
parent,
her advice.
Right.
He's just like, listen,
I've lived more.
If you're not,
you don't know anything.
If you're not sure, don't keep doing it.
Yes.
It's, you know, if you want to find somebody else later, totally fine.
Great.
If you want to date this guy, like, whatever, but you know, don't get married to somebody if you don't know.
Right.
And you know what? That's good advice. He's perfectly fine. She's just turning into a 12-year-old.
Yes.
As you watch it.
Yes.
She's doing it.
She's regressing.
And she stays there for when she goes to meet with Colton.
So the other thing that I also want to bring up that her dad said was, you know, it's this narrative of, you know, when I met your mom, I just knew. And that thing, I think, is also a problem that people assume in relationships. Like, those dumb platitudes where it's like, you know, if a boy bullies you, that means he likes you. No. If, you know, you're going to walk through life and not be looking for love and all of a sudden it's going to happen to you. No. You're going to be in a relationship with somebody and then you'll just know. No. All of those things are not true. They are fake. Those are lies that people tell you.
What?
You know, relationships build. You grow. You learn about people. So it is reasonable for Cassie to want to have more time with Colton. But if she's not into it, you don't have to be into it. Period. And I think she's trying to force herself to be into something she's not. And her dad is giving her an out.
I think she's very worried about letting Colton down or upsetting Colton.
She's not worried about her own feelings. She's worried about making Colton upset.
Well, I think at this point, so they sit and talk, whatever. She gets all dressed up and like ready, fancy for the date. And
for
she walks into the date and she's like, I'm going to go home.
I'm going
to
go home.
She says it to the camera. She's like, I'm going to go home. And Colton, you know, by contrast, is out here in his room preparing it for sex to be had to it tonight.
Candles.
And he's so ready.
He's
candles
so ready.
Are going and he's like extra starch on his collar.
He's so horned
he's
up.
So ready.
He's so horned up.
Super horned up.
I'm so horned up.
And so they walk and they sit down and she's like, I'm not really into this. And he just immediately goes into this kind of like self-defense mode where he's like, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? Like, are you aware that I'm willing to do anything for you?
See,
you don't have to go right now, but we don't have to go to the fantasy suite. We don't have to have
this
sex.
This is terrible.
We don't have to even
this
be
was,
on the show.
This was,
I would do anything to keep this going.
This was the saddest thing I've ever seen. And then he dropped the bomb. He was like, I want to pick you. It was always you. You're the one that I'm in love with. I don't give a fuck about these other two girls.
It's like hyper desperation.
He pulled out all the stops. He played every card that he could.
You feel bad for him.
I felt so bad for him.
And so does she, which is the only reason she doesn't just go, I'm sorry, I would like to leave, and then leave.
Right.
The only reason she even sticks around for the conversation
is because she feels bad.
Because she feels terrible. Because it's very obvious to see this from his point of view.
Yeah.
He has been presented with all of these options. Yes. Like, the show, this is how the show works.
And again, so sorry for sticking with Hannah this whole time, because Colton basically said this episode, like, Hannah who?
Hannah's no longer on the show.
Hannah is not even in this episode at all.
Yeah, so it's really tough. You know, he's failed. If Cassie, he doesn't go home with Cassie, he's failed. He had all these options. He whittled it down to one.
He basically just went on a date with Tayshia and didn't have sex with her because he was waiting to have sex with Cassie.
What an idiot.
Yes.
And more, like, more, he just put all of his eggs in the Cassie basket for the whole show. Mm-hmm. For the whole being the bachelor and picking a bride thing. He did it. It did not work out for him.
It did not work out for him.
And even when you're the person whose fault it is, it probably feels pretty bad. Plus, you're on TV being the villain, like, breaking this guy's heart.
Right.
You know, this is your only national exposure to anybody.
Right.
You know you're going to have to hear about it on Instagram. You know you're going to hear about it from people.
This is literally the only way that you could, by breaking up with him, you're ruining your own bag.
This is your 15 minutes of fame, and you're the villain in it.
She messed up her own bag. You know? She did.
It's rough for everyone.
It's rough. And Colton, I felt so bad for him because he was, like you said, using every bargaining chip he had. He said, we don't even have to get engaged. We could just date forever.
You haven't even met my family.
You haven't even met my family yet. He's like, I love you. Like, all this stuff. And just like you said, Cassie didn't want to upset him. And in the long run, being in a relationship with somebody where you've basically been guilted into being in a relationship with them, especially... Oh, totally healthy. Sure. Guys, that was wildly sarcastic. Especially after...
No, I meant it.
Okay, great. And especially after Colton said, I've been
I meant it. Did it upset you?
Did it upset
because
you?
Because I can take it back.
I can take it back. Help. And then Colton said, I've been in relationships with people where I've loved them more than they've loved me.
Everybody has.
Dude.
I mean...
Dude.
He's full desperation. He's gotten rid of all the cards, and now he just has the one, and she does not want him.
Terrible.
And you sit here and you just watch this. It's I don't know what, 50 minutes or so?
It was a long breakup. It was, and as discussed, we'll get into the best breakups of The Bachelor before in a minute.
She keeps going, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I want to do this. And he goes, you don't have to decide anything. He's just like backpedaling how serious he wants to be.
He's like, let's just go sit. Just stay with me. Let's just talk all
back
night.
And forth the whole thing. Oof. for a long time.
And she can't make a decision.
Or maybe they're making her stay.
So here's the other thing that I want to say. Colton asks her point blank, were you going to leave tonight?
This is early in the
conversation. This was early in the conversation. So she mentions to him, my dad came today, and he surprised me. And Colton asks her, were you going to leave tonight? And this is my theory, which is probably true, which contributes to the fence jump, which contributes to his sort of, you know, getting up and walking out of this thing in a fit of fury. The reason that he asked her this was because he wanted to know if the show sabotaged his chances with Cassie because they brought in her dad. If the show, because the show did that. That was not Cassie's, let's not get it twisted. Cassie's dad did not wake up one day and say, I'm going to go to Portugal and tell and talk to my daughter.
Yeah.
No.
The show did it.
The show did this. The show called Cassie's dad and said, hey, you know, we want you to come in and sort of talk to Cassie. She really sounds like she just wants to talk to you. Now, granted, did Cassie ask for this? I highly doubt it. I highly doubt she asked the producer, hey, can you bring my dad in because I really want to talk to him. That's not what happened. Because her face, when he showed up, looked like, I didn't know you were coming. This is a real, true surprise. So Colton now has this vendetta in the back of his mind because he's thinking, the show single-handedly sabotaged my relationship with Cassie by bringing in her dad and ruined this whole thing.
He's thinking,
I could have had sex.
Yeah.
I could have been with this girl that I love. I could have all this stuff. She would never have questioned her decision if the show didn't bring him in.
He's super horned up.
Horned up.
As we talked
and
about.
And he is pissed.
He thought he was going to select from this group of women.
Yes.
Pick the woman he was going to, have... Yeah, that was going
to... intercourse, yeah. Adam. Yeah.
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 You know, he was going to have sex with her.
Yeah.
And then he was going to be like, you know what? And it's you. You're the one I'm picking.
Yeah.
And they were... everything was going to be happily ever after.
Yes.
That's how he thought. He thought this was going to be the night.
He thought...
and guess what?
And he thought he was going to have control over this situation. You ain't control.
This was his...
ABC's in control.
This was his proposal.
Mm-hmm. This is it.
And it didn't go the way... and she left before he could even ask.
Mm-hmm. And he all but proposed to her tonight.
He tried.
He all but proposed to her tonight. And so, Cassie...
It is a pile of just disappointment,
yeah,
of people. And it's... when you try to play the empathy game with both of them, you feel really bad for what they have to do.
Yeah.
But there is no... the alternative is worse.
Yes. So, as discussed, I only have two... for new listeners to the show, and old listeners as well... there are only two fights or breakups in Bachelor history that I really latch on to. One, of course, is Peter and Rachel. Because, come on, Adam.
Heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking. That one was really bad. Will you agree? Come on. Come on. You have to agree with me.
It was bad, and our household personally had a lot invested in that relationship.
We really did. And you were invested in Peter and Rachel as well.
That's a lie, but...
okay. And then the other breakup, which I can't remember if you were watching the show at that time, was between Dez and Brooks.
Yes.
Yes. That 45-minute breakup was very sad, very intense. And you know what? The Ari Becca thing, that was fake. I'm not gonna even add
like
that
her
to the
to
list.
Begin with.
Yeah. So... in the list of major Bachelor breakups that have happened on the show, that was not my favorite.
Okay.
Because Cassie wasn't decisive enough.
I don't really care about either one of them. I would feel differently if she were a grown-up.
She is not.
It is so hard for me to get invested in them because she is a child.
And she regresses into childlike behavior when things get challenging, hard, or
it's
she's trying to have a serious
she's
conversation.
She's not a bad person.
No.
She's just a kid.
She's just 23 years old. And that is going to be a woman. That's going to be your wife, Colton. That's going to be somebody who's going to be the mother of your child.
Get out of here.
That sounds horrible.
So here's where the episode ends.
Yes.
Colton jumps the fence. He's really upset that the fence jumping has been teased. He jumps the fence and runs off, and nobody can find him.
Into the
Chris
bed.
Harrison and them are like, they're all running around going,
they're calling his name like he's a dog.
Yeah, going, Colton, Colton,
Colton,
Colton. Anybody seen Colton?
Colton, come here, Colton. Come here.
So it just ends there. We're going to watch Women Tell All tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then the whole charade is going to start again next week.
For another two hour
episodes. Yeah, we're not quite sure what our schedule is going to be like for that. But we'll talk about all of
it. We'll figure it out.
So Hannah G has disappeared unceremoniously.
Right.
We think. There's no official word yet. I'm not ready to give her the end of the road yet.
I have bold predictions.
Okay. I'm not ready to give her the official end of the road yet. Also, side note, one of our listeners who I've known forever has been sending me messages recently about the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, every time I listen to End of the Road on your show, I think about going to Skateland, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Wow.
We went to junior high together, and she's like, I think about going to Skateland, where they used to play this song all the time. And now, for me, every time I say End of the Road and think about putting it in here, I think about going to Skateland and just skating around. There being big dice, and like you're going in the corners, and it was a fun
going
time.
In the corners and doing what?
Ooh, there were six. There are like six areas, and they roll the dice, and whoever's in the corner, like where the dice was rolled, they're numbered segments. You were out, and the goal is to stay in.
Wait a minute.
The rink has six regions. Four of them are in the corners, and they roll the dice, and whatever number comes up, the people who are in that region at the time are removed from the skate floor.
Did you play games when you went to Skateland?
Yes, there were games.
Oh, okay.
There's also like the limbo that you do.
What?
Anyway, my friend Kristen said this to me, and I needed to bring it up because, again, more 90s references are always better.
We didn't play games at our skate place. We just skated.
We skated and then played games. That was fun.
You know,
and
I
listened to End of the Road.
Honey, I learned so much about you every time we do this show.
I did a lot of stuff as a kid.
You really did.
Including going to Skateland. I played games.
I went to Skate World, and it's the same, but so different. So bold predictions, I guess, since Adam just went over the schedule. What is going to happen? I mean, Colton has pretty much picked Cassie. The show is over.
The other two contestants
But he now has to break up with the other two girls. He has to tell them what happened.
I don't think he's going to.
He will tell them what happened.
I think the entire...
That's what next week is. Next week is going to be... Next Monday is going to be 2 hours of him breaking up with Tayshia and Hannah. And then
the opposite. I think it's going to be him hunting down Cassie to try to get her to change her mind.
But he's also going to do that, too.
Oh, I think it's going to be 2 hours of that, and that's it.
It is definitely going to be 1 hour of him breaking up with both of them, and then 1 hour of him chasing down Cassie, and then after the final rose is going to be on Tuesday, and he's going to be with Cassie.
You think she's going to change her mind?
Yep.
Because she is very gullible.
She's a 23-year-old indecisive person.
Yeah, I mean, her dad changed her mind already.
So who's to say that Colton's not going to swing her mind in right here back. And change her mind back? I really think that that's exactly what's going to happen.
Cassie is not even a little bit attractive. I don't get you this don't at get all.
It
at all.
You don't like it. You don't like it.
I guess that's it.
So I guess now is the time we have the conversation of, you know, are they going to stay together? Because now we know what's going to happen at the end ridiculous. Of the show. I mean, obviously they're not. She's 23 years old. It's just not going to happen.
All it takes is a decent wind, and she will change her mind again.
Truly.
You know?
And, I mean, you have one argument with her, and I would be like, I got to get out of here. One argument.
Take one look at her, and you'd be like, this is not enough.
So, yeah. I guess now is the time where we can sort of make bold predictions about who could be the next Bachelorette. And I read
do it tomorrow night.
Okay.
Because they're gonna interview people with the intent of testing them tomorrow right. night.
So I read an article, by one of my faves, Rachel Lindsay. Though she and I have a complicated relationship, as you know.
Peter-based.
It's a Peter-based
jealousy.
hatred. And it's a pretty reasonable opinion, and I've warmed up to it. I don't think there's anybody in this season that could be a Bachelorette.
Leslie Murphy
has a boyfriend. Leslie Murphy has a boyfriend, honey. You gotta let it go.
You dump a guy if you get to be the Bachelorette.
I know. But would it be possible that we pull back from, you know, Bachelorettes of yore and find a new Bachelorette? I wouldn't mind that.
I think your best chance is that they'd pull somebody from BIP over the summer because they've done it with the guys.
But they have to announce the Bachelorette because they have to have guys to be on BIP because BIP is on during the summer.
I think you could still do it. Take somebody just from the last season
of BIP. Oh, from the last season of BIP. Okay.
Yeah. I think you could do it. I mean, those people have an extra season.
Who are they going to pick? Coked out Jenna?
I don't know, but that's a better option than Cassie or Hannah or
Well, it's
Kaylin.
Not gonna be Cassie because he's gonna get back with Cassie. It's definitely better than Kaylin.
It cannot be a 23-year-old.
I love Tayshia, but it's not gonna be Tayshia. I don't think.
She's the only one that it could be from the season.
Right,
it cannot be a 23-year-old.
It cannot be a 23-year-old person. I mean, it's not gonna be Kaylin because Kaylin is dating Jason now, so they're out.
They'll find somebody.
Ugh, what a way to end this season. I mean, we've got three more episodes to just sort of figure this
There's
out,
so much
I guess.
TV left and so little to happen.
So we're going to struggle through next week, you guys. We might have two episodes. We might have one. We'll definitely see you on Wednesday for Women Tell All. But
I don't feel like we usually do after the final rose. We usually just do the finale, right? Let's get the researchers on there.
Yeah, we'll get the kids, the interns to figure it out and then...
All right.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well,
what a time.
Well, actually, we'll see you tomorrow.
We'll definitely see you tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
You know, I think when a man loves a woman, there's so much more you can do in a fantasy suite.
Yeah.
I never wear underwear.
There was a big group of women.
That's sort of evil.
Now we're rolling with it. Will he, won't he? I did things my way. It wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect, but I tried my best. I'm having fun. I loved it. I'm very excited.